I'm always quite modest in my approach.
Good morning, everyone. Ways and Means Committee will come to order. Clerk will note the roll. There is a quorum. We have the minutes of May 10th before us. Representative Carlson moves approval of the minutes of May 10th. Is there any discussion, corrections, changes to the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Okay, members, let me just give you a brief outline of the agenda for the day. We have a change in the budget resolution that I'm going to be proposing taking up to accommodate a change in the bonding bill on the House floor today. Then we are going to go into recess because we do not yet have formal possession of the pension bill. Then when session is eventually done today, we will, I anticipate, come back to this room to take up and pass the pension bill. Meanwhile, we are going to have the Supplemental Finance Conference Committee meet at 11 a.m. today. We're going to meet in the Capitol in room 120 there, so that if we are there in session when we are in session on the floor, we can go up and take votes as needed. And we have posted as of 1 a.m. last night three bills, the language and spreadsheets for agriculture, higher ed, and environment. So I anticipate that we'll take those up at 11 a.m. And then there are a number of other bills that there's been a lot of progress on, perhaps not completely finished, but a lot of progress that we can also do. I particularly say education finance, health and human services, transportation, and jobs. There's a lot that is ready to go, although it hasn't been posted on those, and so I'm hoping that we will post those at some point relatively soon during the day, and so that we'll recess from the conference committee once we're done with those first three bills, and when it's time, we'll start working on those other bills. So that's kind of the overall agenda. Questions, Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, are the targets set then for all the conference committees?
As of about midnight last night, yes.
Okay, and are they public yet?
I don't think we've made them public, no, but we need to do that. Thank you for reminding me.
And if when you're ready, then if you could let the minority know
absolutely.
What those targets are, and in addition to that, if we could find out what the impact would be in the out biennium as well. I assume that you probably have informally talked about the future biennium and what those tails targets might be.
Yeah,
I know you released the tails targets relative to the House budget resolution, even though it's not part of it. So if you could tell us maybe at that point what both numbers are.
Sure, yeah, I'll get that to you. Thank you for reminding me on that, Representative Carlson. It was just a very late night here last night, and I just haven't gotten that stuff all done yet.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? All right. Well, then I want to go to the first order of business today, which is modifying the budget resolution. In your packet, we have the BRES-01-1, which is the budget resolution as it stands now, and I'm going to move the A-10 amendment. Now, what the A-10 amendment does is, first of all, it takes out the stadium reserve account budget limit, and the reason we're doing that is that we don't want to be double counting anything on the floor when it comes to things in the bonding bill today. And the second thing is we're going to increase the amount of cash that can be used in the bonding bill by $5 million. So that is what the A-10 amendment does. Is there discussion to the A-10 amendment? Representative Carlson, I've got to be making your day increasing the target for the Capital Investment Committee.
Well, as you know, I've been arguing that for some time, so every step is helpful, but we might want to discuss a little later an even bigger step potentially. But At any rate, I do have a question with the stadium reserve account. What I hear now is that there's also an impact there with the veterans' homes. Is that part of the, because there's, when you take it down to zero, that's $26 million from our discussions of the budget or reserve earlier. So you're using five for the bonding bill today, and is, are the veterans' homes in play with this as well?
Well, I think the best thing to say is, I mean, we're just taking off the limit on the stadium reserve. I mean, you know, we're not proposing to change anything on it here. I guess, you know, to the extent there's something that goes on in the bonding bill on it, I guess, you know, you'll have to, I don't even recall what's been posted on that, if anything, in amendments today. But I guess I don't know that I'm in a position to talk about that.
Okay.
We're just proposing to take the limit off so there can't be any double counting. And I know that was a concern, Mr. Marks, that you, I think, had. Can you speak to that?
Mr. Chair, this would remove it so whatever goes on with the stadium reserve account is no longer limited by the budget resolution. Yes.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Chairman, would that change any of the, I know that you referred to the $5 million.
Right.
So are any other targets relative to any of the bills going through the House changed then as a result of that? Because I assume then that $5 million means we'd subtract $5 million from the 26, whatever the odd number of dollars were.
Right.
Bringing it down to 21. So are there any plans for that 21 is, I guess, what I've...
You know, I have to say, I guess not in this committee with what is coming up, no.
Okay, well, then, Mr. Chairman, wouldn't that 21, if that was going to be used for a target somewhere else, would that not have to, wouldn't we have to, with the budget resolution, change the target?
Representative Carlson, if we were going to put that money into another committee, we'd have to change the target for that committee.
So we'd have to reconvene to use that 21 is what I'm saying.
We'd have to reconvene to use that 21 if we're going to change one of the other targets on here, yeah, okay. Because we'd be increasing the amount of some targets.
For another bill going through, then would we have any access to that 21 for an amendment?
I don't know. Mr. Marks, can you answer that?
Well, Mr. Chair, the net effect, if an amendment is drafted to transfer money from the stadium reserve account, if an amendment were drafted to transfer $10 million from the stadium reserve account and then spend $10 million, the net effect on a target is zero. So other targets would not necessarily have to be changed if both of those things were met.
Okay. I haven't had a discussion with the author yet, but an amendment we adopted rather quickly the other day took the programming out for public television relative to the opioids. And I think that's $1.5 million, and I was going to talk to the author about that. That's one of the reasons that I was wondering if other amendments might be in order without changing targets on other bills. That may be, my comments now may be news to him, but
all right.
I planned on talking to him, but at any rate, that was something that I hadn't noticed the other day when the bill went through, that was with the amendment removed.
Okay.
But it's a special programming that they were going to do relative to educating people on the issue. That takes us off of what's before us right now, other than it does impact on how we can use the changes in the budget resolutions as we move forward. There might be other amendments today on other bills that people might be interested in. So.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Sure. Any other discussion to the A-10 amendment? Seeing no discussion, all in favor of the A-10 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The A-10 amendment is adopted. Are there other amendments? Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe I have the A-6 amendment.
Representative Hillstrom moves the A-6 amendment.
Mr. Chair and members, this makes it so that the bonding bill could be $1 billion. I think that that is the proper amount that we should be spending and working off of. I believe that there are many, many projects that are necessary for this state and that we could make great progress if that were the size of the bonding bill, Mr. Chair. And so I would encourage members to support that. I believe Representative Carlson would like to speak to the amendment as well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, well, Mr. Chairman, as you know, going back to when we originally adopted the budget resolution, that was a number that we were very interested in from our side of the aisle, and felt that at that point the 800 later changed to 825 was a little tighter than we thought it should be, and so this amendment then would, if adopted, allow for a $1 billion bill, which has been our position, if you will, in this committee from the adoption of the budget resolution until this morning.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if no one else wanted to speak to the resolution, Mr. Chair, I do see that you are beginning to move in a direction that I would like to see the bill moving. And so if no one else wants to speak to it, I do intend to withdraw the amendment, Mr. Chair, in hopes that the bill continues to move in the direction I would like to see it go.
Well, I do want to just say respectfully, Representative Hillstrom, you know, we did have a $1 billion bonding bill last year, and actually this bill as it is now is an over $1 billion bonding bill because, of course, we have the 1.2. We have an $825 million of GO in it. We've got now $13 million in change in cash. We've got $50 million of affordable housing bonds, and we've got a couple hundred million dollars of transportation bonds that we carried, the trunk highway bonds in the transportation bill. So, of course, it has gotten to be a significant-sized bill, and I guess I just, speaking for myself, would say I don't think that it needs to be any larger than that.
Yeah.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we're aware of those other additions, but we were talking about general obligation bonds, and that was where we were coming at it from with our number, and we're very aware of the other. Might I ask you a follow-up question to a discussion you and I had on the floor on Thursday when we were talking about the growth of the bill? What's the status on the $100 million that was talked a lot about last week of appropriation bonds that would have been funded through LCCMR?
You know, I guess I don't know if I have anything new on that, Representative Carlson. I would say that this is not necessarily our last meeting today. I mean, we still have the LCCMR bill in our possession, but that's been sort of a leadership discussion as to whether there would be something happening there. But that's not going to be part of the bonding bill that's passed on the floor today.
Well, that was part of what our discussion was. That was the timing, and you said it hadn't been decided. So I guess the status is still the same, then it's undecided as to...
From what I know, it's undecided, Representative Carlson. It's not going to be part of the bonding bill today, but, yes, yeah, certainly it could be something that came forward as its own standalone bill with bonding in it.
Okay, a standalone bill.
Well, an LCCMR bill that just had bonding attached.
Okay, so it would be a package of the LCCMR bill that would include appropriation bonds, or when you said standalone, I thought maybe you meant just a bill.
No, I mean that if something would happen in that, well, you know how it is, there's all sorts of ways you can do things around here, but I guess if something happened with that now, I would expect the most likely thing would be that the existing LCCMR bill would be amended to add LCCMR appropriation bonds to it.
The reason I raise that question is so we, like I've said at other meetings, it's important to know what the roadmap is.
Yep.
And so, again, if you can let us know what the decision is on that, we'd appreciate it.
Okay.
I think Representative Hillstrom was, did you withdraw it?
Mr. Chair, it is my intent. I withdraw the A6 amendment.
Okay. Representative Hillstrom withdraws the A6 amendment. Thank you, Representative Hillstrom. All right. And then all right. All right. Members, is there any other discussion I don't believe there are any other amendments posted to the budget resolution today, so we've adopted the amendment we need to adopt so that the bonding bill is in order on the House floor today. Is there any other business to come before the Ways and Means Committee before we recess? Okay, well, members, then remember we're going to come back and do the pension bill after we adjourn session today, which I expect will be a long time. Not sure what time that will be, but, you know, could be late afternoon, might well be evening. I know there's a lot of bills on the calendar for today. But
about half an hour for the bonding bill.
All right. Yeah, depends a lot on you, Chair Girdall. Well, and those who you work with on the other side. But Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, do you plan on meeting then immediately after we adjourn, or are you going to convene the Republican caucus?
I would be planning on meeting immediately after we adjourn.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
I mean, it may be getting late, so I don't know that, unless you feel like you need to caucus with your folks, I don't know that we need to caucus here.
I don't think we do. We would if you were caucusing, but if you're going to meet immediately, we won't.
Yeah, no, I think we'll meet immediately.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, members, we are in recess.
I'll reconvene the meeting of the Committee on Ways and Means. We'll go right to Cheryl Driscoll, and I will move the Senate File 2620. And Representative Driscoll, if you'll present your bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the Ways and Means Committee. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today with you. What we have before us for consideration tonight in Senate File 2620 is the 2018 Pensions Reform and Stabilization Bill. What I'm going to do is I'm going to defer to members from the Legislative Commission on Pensions and Retirement to do, from the nonpartisan office, to do a general walkthrough on the bill, Mr. Chair, if that's all right with you.
Yes.
I'll ask Ms. Barth and Ms. Lincheski then to come forward, please.
Good evening. Before we start, we apparently have the second engrossment of the bill, and I'm going to have to do some quick printing. So we will do that, but during the interim, while the printing is being done, we'll go to the explanation on the bill. So if the testifiers would please identify themselves for the record, we'll get going on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Vogel. My name is Susan Lencheski, and I am the Executive Director of the Legislative Commission on Pensions and Retirement. You should have a summary of the bill, not perhaps keyed to the current draft, but it is a summary that we've used throughout the committee process. It gives an overview of the bill. There's also a table of contents that gives some of the high points of the bill. Section by section, that gets into the weeds, lots of detail. And then finally, set of spreadsheets that provides some financial information about the impact of the bill over the amortization period, the 30-year amortization period. So it gives the savings as well as.
I hate to interrupt. Could I ask a question? That reprinting of the bill, how far along are they on it?
I think they're in the process right now. So I don't. The bill isn't. The bill summary is fine. And rather than waiting, if you're okay with that, to reprint the entire bill has to be reprinted because apparently we have the wrong engrossment.
Yeah, but it's very close.
But we're cutting down more apple trees.
No,
Representative, go ahead.
He doesn't want. Yeah, I was thinking in the interest of time what the essential difference is between the second engrossment and the bill that's being reprinted.
Mr. Chair.
I think they're virtually identical if I...
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
might I just offer this as a suggestion that we allow Ms. Barth and Ms. Lincheski to go through the bill as members have it in front of them, and to Representative Carlson's request, maybe I could, and or nonpartisan staff, could talk about why there's a difference between the first and second engrossment. They're not major changes, but they are changes nonetheless.
There are changes.
And Mr. Chair, the reason we were raising it is to stop the presses. In other words, if they're really
Certainly.
And that's why we broke in right now to say, do they really have to reprint this if we are getting a full? That was our reason for raising it
now. Mr. Chair?
Representative.
As much as I support the timber industry in Minnesota, we do not need to print that if everybody's okay with not having the second engrossment.
Mr. Chairman, I think that if they can clearly explain, I think those changes are minor. If I recall some amendments that went on in state government finance, is what we're talking about, a couple of local plans. So maybe if they can be explained as we go through with a little maybe heavier emphasis, and then we can move along.
Chair is fine with that if that works for everybody here. Okay. So we can send out a courier to stop the presses.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody will make sure that the presses are stopped. Good. So, with that being done, and thank you, Representative Carlson, for the suggestion, why don't we go back to the testifiers using the bill as the format, recognizing that there'll be a few minor changes relative to, I imagine, the amendments that were put on the other day in state government finance. So, otherwise, the bill is materially the same. So, Ms. Lincheski.
Thank you, Chair Vogel. If you want a preview of the four changes that were made to the bill in state government finance, they are on page 7 and 8 of the summary, the narrative. Rachel Barth will go into those at the end of this presentation, but if you want to just read ahead, pages 7 and 8 will give you a summary of what those amendments were. I will do a high-level overview of benefit reforms that are in the bill. These are the benefit changes, and also talk a bit about the contribution increases and some of the funding in the bill. Starting with the benefit reforms, Articles 1 through 4 provide for changes that include elimination of augmentation. Augmentation is an automatic COLA increase on the benefit of a deferred vested pension, deferred vested member. So somebody who has left state employment, is no longer employed by the state, has a pension that's been accrued based on his prior service, will, under augmentation, have an automatic increase every year until he decides to start taking his or her pension. That is called augmentation, and that is being eliminated prospectively. In addition, the early retirement benefit is going to be calculated differently under the changes in the bill. The early retirement calculation adds back in augmentation that is missed when an employee begins their benefit early. Augmentation is being taken out of the calculation, so there will be a slightly larger reduction to the normal retirement benefit when it starts to be paid as an early retirement benefit. Then the rate of interest paid on refunds, these are refunds of employee contributions, that rate of interest is being reduced from 4% to 3%. There are a number of COLA changes in the bill. COLAs are reduced or frozen for MSRS General, Correctional, TRA, and St. Paul Teachers, TRA being Teachers Retirement Association, and St. Paul Teachers. St. Paul Teachers COLA is actually being frozen for 2 years, so there will be no COLA for that group. In addition, para-general and para-correctional, there's new provisions in the bill that will allow them to calculate their COLA differently. It will now be tied to Social Security, to the inflation or the COLA amount. Whenever Social Security has an increase, para-general and para-correctional then will have an increase in their COLA. In addition, the LCPR will be the Legislative Commission on Pensions and Retirement will be conducting a study of COLAs generally, looking at what's being done in PARA to see if that's something that should be adopted generally, and then really other alternatives for calculating COLAs. The start of the COLAs are being postponed in the bill, so instead of starting with early retirement, they will not start until a member has reached normal retirement age. And then finally, some COLA triggers are being repealed. So COLAs go up automatically under current law when certain funding status is achieved. So if they say a bill reaches 90%, then the COLA will automatically increase. That those provisions are being repealed. There are a number of actuarial assumption changes, the most important being one that everybody's heard about. The investment rate of return will be reduced from 8% to 7.5% in the bill. For teachers' retirement, that reduction is from 8.5% down to 7.5%. In addition, the amortization period is being reset for all the plans, so typically it'd be a 30-year period. Due to the passage of time, so their amortization period expires sooner than 30 years, but they'll all be reset so that 2048 will be the new end of the amortization period. The bill includes a number of contribution increases. These are both employer contribution increases and employee contributions. Those are in Article 7 of the bill. Article 8 provides for some direct state aids. These are payments directly from the state to the plan. In the case of the first of these, St. Paul Teachers Retirement Fund will receive $5 million annually beginning in FY19. Parapolice and fire will receive $4.5 million in FY19 and 20. That will increase to $9 million annually beginning in FY2021. All of the aides in the statutes have now will now have an expiration date on them. So some of them did not expire due to the passage of time, but they will now all expire at the attainment of 100% funding or July 1 of 2048. In addition, in Article 20 and Article 21, there are appropriations. The pension adjustment revenue is being there's some additional pension adjustment revenue in the bill. So in Article 20, TRA will receive $8.8 million for FY 2019, $19.3 million FY 2020, and $30 million in FY 2021. St. Paul Teachers similarly will receive $2 million in 2019, $4.5 million in FY 2020, and $5.4 million in FY 2021. In addition, there are appropriations, this is in Article 21, from the general fund to MSRS for four of their plans, $6.8 million in FY 2019, $13.5 million in FY 2020, and $17.2 million in FY 2021. There are some non-general funds that will also be going to MSRS, $6.6 million in FY 2019, $13 million in FY 2020, and $14.4 million in FY 2021. I'll turn it over to Rachel Barth, the Deputy Director, to finish the rest of the summary.
Good evening, and could you please identify yourself for the record?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rachel Barth with the Pension Commission. So the next big part of the bill, Articles 14 and 16, deal with volunteer firefighters. Most of the language consists of recommendations from the State Auditor's Working Group and mainly bring the statutes into conformity with actual practice. The other provisions included are the City of Austin provision to allow its fire state aid allocation, new language to allow Cromwell and Wright fire departments to merge, a benefit correction for the City of Brook Park, and then the City of Eden Prairie will be allowed to increase its annual benefit amount from $10,000 to $15,000. Article 18 of the bill deals with special legislation for individuals or small groups. These provisions fix employer errors that resulted in exclusion from a pension plan or a benefit within the pension plan. Article 15 of the bill contains the provisions relating to Fairview. The provisions reduce the enhanced rate of augmentation for former members of the University of Minnesota hospitals and clinics under MSRS General who were transferred to private employment with Fairview Hospital. The rate, which is currently 5.5% or 7.5% depending on the member's age, will reduce by 0.75% each year until the rate is 0%, which will occur January 1, 2025. Articles 6, 9 through 13, 15, 17, and 19 contain administrative, non-substantive, and technical changes. And just a few highlights include making certain Department of Corrections and Department of Human Services positions eligible for MSRS correctional coverage, updating interest rates, and revising language to be consistent with the Federal Hometown Heroes Act. As Representative O'Driscoll and Susan mentioned, a majority of the provisions in the bill were carried over from the 2016 and 2017 pension bills, but there are some new provisions that the Pension Commission heard and approved of this session. Those include, just to name a few, permitting members of the para-defined contribution plan who are at least age 65 to take distributions while still working, which is consistent with federal law. Extends para, police, and fire coverage to part-time paramedics and EMTs employed at Hennepin County Medical Center. And deletes a requirement in a 1982 session law that a successor employer of the Swift County Benson Hospital employees provide pension benefits comparable to para benefits. And then the State Government Finance Committee and the Pension Commission approved two amendments that are referenced by Representative Carlson and relate to volunteer firefighters. So I can just give you more details of what that second engrossment contains. One provision provides that if a volunteer firefighter relief association dissolves and provided a lump sum benefit of $9,500 or more as of the section effective date, any remaining assets after paying out all benefits must go to either the municipality, if the municipality paid a required contribution to the relief association during the 10 years preceding the effective date of the section, or the state, if the municipality did not pay a required contribution within those 10 years. The next section increases the lump sum service pension maximum from $10,000 to $12,500 for any relief association that provides a lump sum benefit of $9,500 or more as of the section effective date and has a funding ratio greater than 100%. The next section dissolves the Maplewood Volunteer Firefighter Relief Association and provides that all members become fully vested, increases the lump sum amount to $11,000 per member, and provides the City of Maplewood with any remaining surplus after all benefit obligations and other requirements are met. And then finally, it establishes a relief association work group to consider possible changes to the statutes governing relief associations, so Chapter 424A and 424B, relating to plan type conversions, dissolutions, and disposition of surplus of assets, and the group has to produce a report.
Thank you. Chair O'Driscoll, follow-up?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I want to thank Ms. Barth and Ms. Lincheski for their overview on this. To give you a little bit of background and why those amendments were taken earlier in, I should say, last week to the bill, when we got together as the Pension Commission this year, I would say that 90% of our work was already done because of the carryover from the two bills that had been addressed and vetoed in, for various reasons by Governor Dayton. And we have the stabilization part of this and the reform parts with agreement from many of the stakeholders. We've got 21 different collective bargaining units that are represented within this pension reform and stabilization bill, where there's unanimous support for that. We also have other stakeholders who are stepping forward and are supportive of this as well. So what we ended up doing was the Senate passed the bill earlier in the session, and we left the Pension Commission open to address a couple of pending issues. The City of Maplewood was in a process of converting from paper service or volunteer firefighting to a full-time service. And they wanted the opportunity to be able to work through that conversion from the on-call relief association to what would be covered by PERA, police, and fire. We also have a provision in here for Eden Prairie, who have special needs for that. And we also have another community in the way of Plymouth that also is facing some changes. And what we're hoping to be able to do if we get this pension bill resolved this year is to address the ever-changing face of firefighting and fire relief here in the state of Minnesota. And that is going to be a primary objective of the Pension Commission next year. And we also, as was just pointed out, have a work group that was in here in the bill to address that issue. And so Tuesday of last week, the Pension Commission got together, talked about the two provisions unanimously and bipartisanly and bicamerally, approved those changes. They were adopted in state government by amendments to the bill. The governor's office was consulted, and the governor's office, through Byron Frand's testimony in state government finance last week, said that the governor was still okay with the bill the way it was. And, Mr. Chair, that brings us to where we are here today in front of the Ways and Means Committee to discuss any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Member questions? Seeing none. Oh, is there one? I'm sorry. Representative Herthaus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Lushensky, in the beginning of your presentation, you were talking about augmentation and for those who had not started taking distributions. And it wasn't clear to me when you were describing that if that provision was going to sunset retroactively to when they retired or effective on the year that this went into effect, even if they haven't started taking distributions. Could you clarify that for me?
Ms. Lucheski.
Thank you, Chair Vogel. Yes, Representative. The elimination of augmentation is only prospectively, so everything that they have earned to date will be retained. So when they do eventually retire and start to take their benefit, whatever they have to date, all those increases will be paid out at that time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, if I might. Representative. To the question of augmentation, the augmentation rate that's being accrued by those who have left public service has actually been higher than some of the COLA that people who have actually had a career with the state of Minnesota or other qualifying public entity would be receiving. And this is a benefit that they would, as Ms. Lucheski pointed out, would be a deferred benefit. So if you had left employment and you were receiving a 2% COLA per year and you didn't draw your state pension or public pension for a period of 10 years, you'd receive a bump of 20%. And your benefit, or if you had retired on that same day versus severed employment, right now you'd be looking at a 1% COLA under the provisions of this bill for many people. And so we thought that that was important to bring equity back into the system. And when we talk about the Fairview folks, these are people who are with the University of Minnesota Hospitals, and their augmentation, as was pointed out, was anywhere from 5.5% to 7% per year. So you can quickly do the math to see how quickly that can get out of, how that can accrue and what the cost implications of that might be.
Other member questions?
Mr. Chair, I don't know if there's anyone from the public that wants to testify. In the past, we have had had folks, but it's. I just want to make sure that procedurally we're good. I see the committee's giving me this death stare for offering that, but
there's no one.
Is there anyone that wanted to testify for or against the bill? Seeing none, Representative Draskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm trying to kind of dig into the details here, and I appreciate the overview, although this is my first look at some of this. Is there a way to characterize the contributions that the retirees, the current workers, and the taxpayers have all contributed to this? Have you somehow monetized those amounts of the retirees and the employees, and then compared that to the amount the taxpayers are putting in?
Chair, I'll just go.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Draskowski, I can't go back into the history of this because it's been embedded into two budgets and things, and so for me to go back and to find out what each agency had done, but I can tell you that we did look at that in the go forward with this stabilization and reform. And for every $1 that the taxpayers are putting in, there's $3 worth of either increased contribution by employees, benefit reductions, or others. So it's a 3-to-1. For every $1 that's invested, there's a $3 offset on benefits or employee increases to their pension.
So, Representative?
So, Mr. Chair, and three-to-one now, that's of the employees. What about the retirees?
Mr. Chair, Representative Draskowski, that is the package because you can't separate out retirees versus deferreds versus this. It just, when we look at the overall cost of the package, each had given, for example, if you were in MSRS, prior to the signature of the governor on this bill, COLAs were at 2%, they are dropping to 1%. So that's part of that $3 for every $1 invested in public dollars. So those are some of the things that retirees would be giving. Reductions in benefits if you retire early, as we're resetting some of the retirement ages in the plans. You also will see current employees having to increase their contributions in the various plans as well. And so when I say that we've got it in different, it kind of just depends upon where you are in the process. For those who have left public employment but have yet to draw their pensions, they're losing the augmentation. So everybody is giving something depending upon where you are on the spectrum.
Thank you.
Representative? Any other member questions? Chair O'Driscoll, final comments?
I just want to thank Chair Vogel, who serves on the Pension Commission, and Chair Anderson, who are both members of this and serve on the Pension Commission. It is a deliberative group, and we have dug deep, and we're showing you the result of our work this year as the Pension Commission. With that, Mr. Chair, I encourage a yes vote, and let's get this in the General Register.
Great. Well, the Chair renews the motion that SF 2620. Oh,
I just wanted to make sure, Mr. Chairman, that we have the right motion, being that we have a different bill before us, that we're passing out the bill that almost was before us from the copy machines. Okay, that's inherent in the motion. Okay, yep. Thank you.
So I'll renew the motion that SF 2620, the first unofficial engrossment, be referred to the General Register. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
With that, fellow members, we can adjourn.